Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're plunging into a topic that, well, many of us either face directly or it's kind of sitting there in the back of our minds, downsizing your home. You, our listener, shared a really interesting mix of articles, practical tips, and even a lively Reddit discussion, all digging into what it means to move to a smaller place, both the practical stuff and, you know, the emotional side.
Yeah, the emotional part is big.
Totally. So our goal here is to take all that info and pull out the most important insights, just to give you a clearer picture of the whole downsizing journey.
Absolutely. And we've got a great range of sources, things from like Better Homes and Gardens, A Clear Path with really practical tips on making small spaces work.
Okay.
Then you've got Songbird Transitions pointing out common mistakes, which is super helpful.
Avoiding pitfalls.
Right. And the money side from Chatterton Associates Property Guru. There's a step-by-step guide from Travelers Insurance. And Lifetime Daily really gets into those emotional currents.
And the Reddit thread, too.
Oh, the Reddit stuff is gold. Real people, real experiences. Mm-hmm. It adds, you know, that personal layer.
Yeah, definitely. So whether you're like seriously thinking about downsizing or maybe helping a parent or relative, or maybe you're just curious about living with less, well, this deep dive is for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to go beyond just the basic tips, you know, get into the why and the how to maybe make it feel less overwhelming.
Less like a chore, more like a choice.
Exactly. Okay, so let's unpack this. Where does someone even begin when they start thinking about downsizing? What kicks it off?
Well, the motivations are key, right?
Yeah.
The sources point to a few big ones. Retirement is huge, pops up in Property Guru, the Reddit thread. It's a major driver.
Okay, retirement. Makes sense.
Yeah, and with retirement often comes, you know, wanting fewer expenses, less house to maintain. Chatterton and Associates mentions that. Maybe wanting more freedom for travel or hobbies.
Or just a lifestyle shift.
Exactly. Just wanting something different. A simpler setup, perhaps.
Okay. So life changes, your needs change. But it's not just a whim, is it? There must be some, like, really concrete first steps, especially around money.
Oh, definitely. You got to look at the finances first. Property Guru really stresses getting a handle on your current expenses and income, like what's going out now. Especially if retirement's on the horizon.
Right. Need that baseline.
Yeah. Because that helps you figure out if downsizing actually saves you money and lines up with your long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
And Better Homes and Gardens makes a really good point about hidden costs.
Hidden costs. Okay. Beyond just, you know, buying the new place, what are we talking about?
Well, think about moving itself. Movers aren't cheap. Packing supplies.
Uh-huh.
Then you might need new furniture that actually fits the smaller space.
Good point. Your huge sofa might not work.
Exactly. And maybe repairs on your current home to get it ready to sell. Plus, property taxes might change. Maybe there are new HOA fees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger financial picture than just sale price minus purchase price.
Wow. Yeah. That's easy to forget. You focus on the big numbers and miss all those little things that add up. Okay. What about the house you're actually leaving? How do you figure out its role?
Getting a professional valuation is really important, according to Property Guru, early on.
Okay.
It gives you a realistic idea of what your current place is worth and, you know, how much potential profit you might actually see. That's crucial if freeing up cash is a big reason for the move.
And it's not just about selling. You got to know where you're landing too, right?
Absolutely. Property Guru says you have to research potential new areas. What do smaller places cost there?
Right.
Make sure your financial goals actually match the reality of the market you're moving into. No point selling a big house if the smaller ones where you want to go are just as pricey or even more.
Okay, that makes total sense. So financialhomework.check, motivations.check, ideaoflocation.check. Then comes the big one, the stuff, all the belongings, decluttering. Both Reddit and Lifetime Daily say this is tough emotionally.
Oh, it absolutely is. That's a huge theme. The emotional ties to possessions, the memories,
yeah.
It's deep. Someone on Reddit said something like, I worked hard for that. And that feeling,
yeah,
it really resonates. It's not just stuff. It's history. It's effort.
Right. Each thing tells a story, holds a memory. It's not just about the object itself. So how do you even begin to tackle that? Where do you start?
Well, the sources offer some methods. Structure helps. Better Homes and Gardens talks about the KonMari method. You know, tidying by category, asking if it sparks joy.
Heard of that one?
Yeah. And they also mentioned the four-box method. Simple, practical. You get four boxes. Put away, give away or sell, trash, and storage. Forces a decision on every single item.
Okay. Frameworks. That sounds helpful for, like, managing the chaos. But what if you get bogged down? Everything feels sentimental.
That's where an outside eye can be gold. Better Homes and Gardens suggests asking a friend for help, someone objective.
Good idea. A neutral party?
Yeah. And they also say be realistic about broken stuff.
Yeah.
Is it really worth fixing, especially when space is going to be tight?
Good point. Don't drag broken things, literally, into a new, smaller life. The Reddit folks had some pretty direct advice, too, didn't they, on decluttering?
They really did. This idea of modified Swedish death cleaning came up.
Swedish death cleaning?
Yeah, basically decluttering proactively so your kids or loved ones don't have to deal with it all later, thinking ahead.
Ah, okay. Kind of practical, in a way.
Very. And lots of mentions of buy nothing groups for giving things away locally builds community, too.
Nice.
And one question someone shared was really powerful. If I died tomorrow, what would my kids do with this? Puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Wow. Yeah, that cuts through the sentimentality fast. They weren't shy on Reddit, were they?
No. Some people were like, you just got to be brutal.
They're brutal.
Yeah, like set a hard rule. Haven't touched it in 3 years. It's gone. For some people, that decisiveness is what they need to actually get through it.
Okay. Brutal, but maybe effective. So you've climbed Mount Declutter, maybe with some help. Now, furniture, appliances. What actually fits? What works in the new place?
Yeah, this is where the tape measure becomes your absolute best friend.
Yeah.
Better Homes and Gardens, Travelers Insurance, they both stress this. Measure your furniture now, then get the exact dimensions of the rooms in the new place.
Because what looks fine in a big room can just swallow a small one.
Exactly. Totally overwhelming.
So what if you love something, but it just won't fit?
Well, Better Homes and Gardens suggests getting creative. Can it be repurposed? Like, could that old dresser work as a TV stand?
Maybe.
If not, then yeah, you got to look at new stuff. But think slim. Furniture without bulky arms or legs. And definitely look for pieces with built-in storage. That's huge.
Multifunctional seems like the name of the game, then.
Totally. Both Better Homes and Gardens and Gardens. A clear path rave about things like sofa beds, ottomans with storage inside.
Oh, yeah. Storage ottomans are great.
Right. Extendable dining tables, lift-top coffee tables that hide stuff and give you a work surface. These things are lifesavers in smaller spaces. They do double or triple duty.
Okay. Smart furniture. What about the kitchen? All those gadgets we seem to collect.
Better Homes and Gardens says, be honest with yourself. How often do you really use that giant mixer or that bread maker that's still in the box?
Guilty.
Right. If it rarely sees the light of day, maybe sell it, donate it. Every inch of counter space matters in a smaller kitchen.
Okay. So belongings sorted, furniture measured or replaced. Now, actually living in the smaller space, making it feel good, not cramped. This is where the hacks come in, right?
This is where it gets fun. Vertical space. That's the mantra. Both Better Homes and Gardens and a kibble. A clear path highlight this. Use your walls.
Floating shelves.
Floating shelves. Wall-mounted racks in the kitchen or bathroom. Get stuff off the floor, off the counters. It makes a massive difference.
Shelves are amazing. Functional, look good, don't clutter the floor. Okay, what about the kitchen specifically? Always feels tight.
Yeah. Better Homes and Gardens had some really clever ideas. Rolling carts for extra prep space you can move around. Tall, skinny bookshelves as pantries.
Oh, interesting.
Pegboards for hanging utensils. Hooks under cabinets for mugs. Magnetic knife strips. Using the tops of cabinets for stuff you don't use often. The space over the fridge. Inside cabinet doors. Wall-mounted wine racks. Every little bit helps.
Wow, okay. Finding space everywhere. What about making the rooms feel bigger, visually?
Illusions. Mirrors are your friend. Better Homes and Gardens, a clear path they both talk about, using mirrors to bounce light around and create a sense of depth.
Right. Mirrors are magic.
Totally. Shiny surfaces, too. Glass. Acrylic furniture. Things light can pass through. And paint colors, light and airy ones, definitely help open things up.
So maybe ditch the heavy, dark velvet curtains.
Probably a good idea. Better Homes and Gardens suggest thinner fabrics or just shades. Let that natural light in. And hang curtains higher than the window makes ceilings look taller.
Clever trick. Okay, what about organizing the flow, making multi-purpose rooms work?
Use zoning techniques to find different areas with rugs or maybe how you place furniture. Better Homes and Gardens mentions folding screens even. It makes one room feel like it has distinct purposes, living, dining, office, whatever.
Okay, creating zones.
And don't forget hidden storage. Like A Clear Path points out, under the bed storage boxes are classic. Built-in nooks if you have them, hanging organizers and closets, and thinking compact, foldable kitchen gadgets, furniture you can store away.
It really sounds like making a small home work well is, it's a lot of thought, a bit of ingenuity.
It really is. It's intentional living.
So what are the big mistakes people make? The things you really want to avoid if you're doing this?
Well, Songbird Transitions highlights a really common one. not actually checking the storage in the new place.
Yeah.
Like counting cabinets and drawers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then not paring down your stuff before you move to match that new, potentially smaller amount of storage. You arrive and, oops, nowhere to put half your kitchen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Huge stressor.
Oh, man, I can see that happening so easily. Just assuming it'll fit. Any other pitfalls?
Forgetting all those extra costs associated with selling and buying. Property Guru reminds us about legal fees, agent commissions, transfer taxes.
Right, the financial stuff again.
Yeah, it chips away at that profit you are counting on if you haven't budgeted for it. And traveler's insurance brings up lifestyle impact. Don't just think about the house, think about the environment. Will your hobbies work there? What about your social life? Does the new neighborhood fit you?
So it's holistic, not just the square footage, but the whole life changing. Okay, let's shift back to a big motivator, the money. The financial pluses. Chatterton and Associates laid out some compelling benefits.
They really did. The most obvious one is lower housing expenses, right?
Yeah.
Smaller or no mortgage payment.
Definitely a plus.
Lower utility bills, less space to heat and cool, probably lower property taxes, depending on where you move, and the home value, lower home insurance, it all adds up.
Significant yeah. monthly savings there. Okay. What else?
Well, selling the bigger house can free up a chunk of cash. That's increased cash flow right there. You could pay for the new place outright, invest the difference, use it for travel, whatever.
Disposable income, potentially.
Exactly. And Chatterton also points out lower maintenance costs. Less cleaning, less yard work, fewer repairs down the line. Less square footage just means less upkeep.
That sounds appealing. Any tax stuff to consider?
Yeah, potentially. They mentioned the capital gains exclusion on selling your main home. In the U.S., you can often exclude a big chunk of the profit from taxes, up to $250K for singles, $500 for married couples, if you meet the rules.
Wow, that's substantial.
It can be. And they also touch on maybe moving to a state with lower overall taxes, income tax, property tax, which could lower your burden too.
So all these financial things together, Chatterton called it financial freedom, right? More money for travel, family, hobbies.
Yeah, more freedom to do what you actually want to do in retirement or that next life stage.
Dang.
They even mention moving somewhere with a lower cost of living overall, stretching your money further.
And easier aging in place, maybe.
That's another great point they made. A smaller, maybe single-story home can be way more manageable as you get older. Could save a fortune compared to assisted living later.
Okay, the financial case seems pretty strong for a lot of people. But we touched on it earlier. It's not just about money. There's that big emotional piece. Lifetime Daily really focused on that.
They really did. And they pointed out that downsizing often happens alongside other big life changes. Retirement, kids leaving, maybe losing a partner.
Yeah, compounding transitions.
Exactly. So the emotions get amplified. There can be a real sense of loss, you know. Lifetime Daily talks about that melancholy, that longing for the past, for the memories tied up in the old house. It's genuinely the end of an era for many.
Leaving behind not just walls, but like a container for decades of life experiences. Yeah, that sounds incredibly tough.
It can be really hard. But importantly, Lifetime Daily also showed the other side, the positive feelings after the move.
Oh, like what?
A sense of liberation, feeling lighter. Embracing new beginnings. Lots of people they talk to actually wish they'd done it sooner. Less stuff to worry about, more energy for other things.
So the pain of letting go can lead to freedom, a new kind of excitement.
It seems so for many. A shift in focus. And Property Guru also echoed that acknowledging the emotional journey is part of the process. You got to allow for it.
Be kind to yourself through it. Okay. So we've covered the why, the how-to of decluttering and space planning, the money, the feelings. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty practical steps, making the move smooth. Traveler's Insurance had a guide, and Reddit had tons of tips.
Right. Traveler starts with taking stock. A detailed inventory of what you actually own can be eye-opening.
I bet.
And again, measuring the new space, measuring your furniture, crucial.
Yeah.
Then thinking about your new lifestyle. What actually fits that? Be honest about letting go of things that just don't serve you anymore.
Like the canoe if you're moving to the desert.
Exactly. And they also suggest comparing the cost of moving certain bulky items versus just replacing them when you get there. Sometimes it's cheaper to buy new.
Interesting calculation.
And start early. Don't wait till the last minute. Give yourself months, Traveler says, 2 to 3, maybe more. And then careful packing and labeling of what you do take.
Okay, planning is key. What about getting rid of the stuff you aren't taking? Reddit had lots of ideas there.
Oh, yeah. Beyond just Goodwill or Salvation Army, people really recommended local buy-nothing groups or FreeCycle,
mm-hmm.
giving directly to neighbors.
That feels good.
Yeah. curb alerts on social media, for free stuff you just want gone fast. For things with value, garage sales, Facebook Marketplace, eBay, consignment shops, even estate sales or auctioneers if you have a lot of valuable items. Lots of options.
And for those sentimental things, the ones that are hard to ditch but take up space.
The photo trick came up a lot on Reddit. Take pictures, document the item, keep the memory digitally. Takes up zero physical space.
Smart compromise.
And if it all just feels like too much, a clear path reminds us. Professionals can help. Organizers, move managers. They exist for a reason.
Good to know help is available. So it really is this big layered process, isn't it? Downsizing. It's finance, it's logistics, it's emotions, it's creativity in making a new space work.
Absolutely. It touches everything. Mm. But by understanding the money side, using good decluttering and space-saving tricks, and really acknowledging the emotional ride, you can tackle it with more confidence. The goal is a space that feels right, feels manageable, feels like you now.
So for you listening, maybe take a moment. Which of these ideas, these strategies kind of clicked for you? What feels relevant to where you are now, or maybe what you might be heading? What's one tiny step you could maybe think about, even if moving isn't happening tomorrow?
Yeah, just mull it over. Yeah. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. We live in a world that's often about getting more, bigger, better. Could downsizing, this intentional act of letting go, could it actually lead to a life that feels richer, more focused, maybe even more fulfilling?
Yeah.
Definitely something to think about.